Okay, good evening YouTube. Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, it's been 162 days since the Welsh Wizard returned to Tottenham Hotspur. You've bought the mug, you've bought the merchandise, you've got the shirt. He was bloody good today, wasn't he?
It was amazing.
162 today. Days of getting fit for Gareth Bale, but now
162 days that were worth every single moment. My dreams came true today. The three of them played up top together.
Right.
In fact, for the last part of the game, all four of them, the
Dele Alli came on, right? Yeah.
Were together, and Toby was at the back. There's nothing better. There was nothing better than what happened today, and it has been a blimmin' long time since we've sat on this stream with both of our sides have won matches.
Yes.
And Kane has scored, Toby's kept a clean sheet, Bale's been a wizard, Son has been... It was phenomenal today.
If you could bottle the emotions that were in our living room during that Spurs game today, you could have sold them for a hefty fee to any other club looking for a little bit of oomph and a little bit of inspiration. I mean, I'd have bought some for a start for my team. But nevertheless, a shout out to a couple of people. One is Danny McDonald, who brought in, he's one of our slackers, been slacking all week about how he's bought in Bale, bought him on a free hit?
Yeah,
Bale's now out of his team.
He's got to bring him back again.
So do you want Bale back now, Danny? I'd be interested to know. But also a shout out to our friend Luke from Fancy Football Scout, who also brought Bale in and triple captained him. Which is quite frankly bonkers.
No, that is not bonkers.
It's totally bonkers to do that. But no, Luke is at a stage in his season where he's trying stuff out, so fair play to him. I love it.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. My love for Luke has gone up a whole nother level.
Well, there we go. There's people in the live chat saying Salah to Bale, Sam. What do you think about that? Go Spurs. Question is, did Sam cry when Bale scored? I mean, you were pretty close.
I went mental.
Pretty close.
I went absolutely mental. I don't think even dogs could hear me. I was that loud.
Well, the kids and I were just playing outside in the garden and we just happened to walk through the door. We were about to say, right, we're here to watch the match. And you just went, Bale! Like that. So, right, okay. So obviously he scored quite early on. Yeah, like 90 seconds in, wasn't it? Something ridiculous.
We'll talk about it in a minute, I'm sure, but it was the best afternoon I've had in a long time.
Well, you're absolutely right. We will, of course, talk about Spurs versus Burnley. You're going to get two sides of this story, guys. You're going to get the Spurs were excellent side from Sam, and you're going to get the Burnley were the most abject tactically team I've ever seen in the Premier League this season. And I've watched a lot of Liverpool this season. They were awful, Burnley. Absolutely awful. But we'll talk about that a bit later on, Sam. Let's get to the chat. Let's see who is in. Hello and good evening to James Ward. How are we doing, James? Nice to see you. He says...
James Ward Prowse?
No Prowse, just James Ward.
Just James Ward.
But James, very nice to see you. Is Salah a sell, he says. Now listen, there's a lot of people asking in the chat now about Mo Salah. And I do think, had he put in that Robertson cross on about 84, 85 minutes this evening, we might not be asking that. And then 2 minutes later, Mane gets fouled in the penalty area, stays on his feet when it is clearly a foul. There's contact there. So if he goes down and we can... Listen, I'm not about to go into a whole thing about...
Milner was on the pitch then.
Yeah, but I think Salah still takes the penalty. He could have had goals tonight. But he didn't. You're absolutely right. Teddy Usher is in. How are we doing? Evening, Kane, triple captain, looking good. It is, but he could have had more today, couldn't he?
Yeah, but I think, and I said this to a few people today when we were talking, I think if you forget the scoreline for a minute, I think if you'd have gone into this game week and said, right, Bale will score twice, once against Burnley, once against Fulham, triple captainers would be very, very happy with that.
You'd probably take it.
So
yeah, absolutely.
Let's not get ourselves upset, I think, that he's just got a goal. It's a goal.
Absolutely.
At triple captain. And I think so that we've seen so many seasons gone by where that's not happened. I'm quite happy where we are. I think going into the Fulham game bodes well.
Charlie King is in. He says, I own Salah and Robertson. Me too, mate. That moment was... Oh, it was so close to the mark, wasn't it? It was Salah. And actually, we were watching the game...
It was the reverse of it as well. Not that long before where Salah
didn't he? But actually, as Salah put that past the wrong side of the post, we were watching it with the stadium noises on.
We both went.
And the guy pressed the button. So the stadium noises kicked in and we were just like, what the hell? I thought it was in. And
we both went, was that in?
Salah's reaction suggested it wasn't in. So I was like, oh, here we go.
Disappointing, wasn't it?
Scott Schrager is in. How are we doing? He's saying, what's happened to Chelsea's offence? Listen, we will talk about Chelsea versus Manchester United a bit later on. A kind of compelling game, but also a game where I think both sides were reasonably happy with the draw. Mm-hmm. I think. I don't think any of them are going to be too upset. However, another... I just hate to sit here and talk about referees all night, but another one where I think Chelsea have got away with one there. I have to tell you, that's got to be a handball by Callum Hudson-Odoi in the first half. It just has to be. I can't believe it's not. Honestly, can't believe it's not. Stealth Panda is here. Hey, Kens, how are we doing? Kens. Thank you for the super chat. Evening, guys. Evening, Kens. Hope yous are okay. And finally, we can smile about our teams. Yes.
Hooray.
Finally, Spurs and Liverpool both win in the same week, which is quite frankly unbelievable. Love the WandaVision reference on Twitter, Thule. Yeah, mate, honestly,
oh,
that
please
is...
please don't get him started. Yeah, honestly, Kens, my life...
I love it. That's so good.
Right, so I am not...
It's so good.
Leo testifies to this. I normally love a bit of Marvel. This programme has taken over our lives because Lee
is so
obsessed
good.
By it. Not a little bit. It's an obsession. I think in a way that I've never seen you about Marvel stuff in the past.
I am a bit of a Marvel geek and this has pushed me over the edge. There's
over
no doubt about
edge.
It.
You're not over the edge. You're at the bottom of a cliff.
And what did I say at the end of the first episode of WandaVision?
Oh, I don't know if I like this.
I was like, what
this
is this?
It's a bit weird.
I don't get it.
I can't work out what's happening here. And then the next thing I know, suddenly we're knees deep in it.
It's unreal. I'm watching fan theories on YouTube and all sorts. It's unreal. It's unreal. Heavy Metal 20 is in. How are we doing? David Manuel is in. Hey, David, how are we doing? Joe Tubbs. Hey, Joe, how are we doing? Very nice to see you. A few of you guys in the live chat talking about the Harvey Barnes injury for Barnes owners.
Yeah,
it's sad for him. I think he's out now for about five to six weeks. I think Rogers was saying got to have an operation on his knee. I think the comments were at least 6 weeks. So unfortunately, he is now a sell. And I feel bad for the kid because he was a flying, wasn't he? A bang on form, borderline England conversation as well, I would suggest. He was right in the mix, I think. And had he shown a form between now and the end of the season, who knows? He might have got the call up, but it's going to be tough for him now. It's a shame. Liam Healy is in with the super chat. Hey, Liam, very nice to see you. Evening, Lee and Sam. Big win for us this weekend. Yes, Bristol City with the big win. Nigel Pearson doing the business. I think they were at Swansea this weekend, if I've read that right. Listen, I don't really pay any attention.
We do now, because of Liam.
I don't pay any attention to anything outside the Premier League. But I do now for Bristol City because I'm interested in how Liam's doing.
Because Liam likes to give us updates and then we actually follow what Bristol City are doing.
I love it. Yeah, it's awesome. Louis B is in. Mr. Jobs, Ewan Pete is in. And FPL Alex the Kid, Eddie Casey, Bossman 525, and a whole host of you guys. So thank you guys for joining us.
Say hello to the podcasters.
Hello, podcast listeners. We actually, I don't know if you noticed this, but you wouldn't have done because you don't upload the podcast. I do. But on Audio Boom, which is where we upload our podcasts and it talks about how many listens you've had and all the various different what's-its, we've had 100,000 listens of our podcast this season. 100,000 listens. So guys, if you're listening to the podcast...
Thank you, podcasters.
Thank you very much. That's insane. I mean, I must admit, I put the podcast up at the beginning of this season, started doing the audio of this live stream as an audio podcast, just because a few people said, wouldn't mind listening to that as a podcast, Leah. And then, I wouldn't say too many, but I thought, yeah, okay, for you guys, I'll do it, it's no problem. 100,000 listens so far this season. So guys, if you're listening on the podcast, if you're listening on Spotify, Deezer, Acast, wherever you get your podcast, thank you very much for tuning in. Really appreciate it. It's not subscribe, hit that followy, but hit the follow or the listen again or the, what's the button?
Notify,
subscribe to the podcast. Should we just say that? Subscribe to the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Why not?
Kevin Morrison, former Manager of the Month champion, no doubt. Kevin Morrison is in and super chatting tonight. Thank you, Kevin. He's saying, does the Barnes injury and Madison being injured push you away from Leicester assets? Now, we will talk a bit later on about Leicester, but definitely they looked off without Madison and then without Barnes, they
and
looked even
Evans.
More off. And then Johnny Evans goes off with an injury. All of a sudden, that slightly thin veneer of a squad at Leicester City is just starting to maybe take its toll a little bit. Don't get me wrong, thought Arsenal play well this weekend, so we'll talk about them as well. Willian and Pepe in particular, Sam. For Pepe.
Hey.
I know.
Hang on.
I'm not about to praise him, Sam.
Okay.
But he
thought
did.
My chair was about to collapse.
He played all right, Pepe.
Right.
And that's as much as I'm going to say about Pepe.
How much is
that's
he worth
all
now?
I'm going to say.
Has he gone up?
He's up to about 75 and a half pence,
wow,
I would suggest.
Wow,
something
wow.
Like
Pepe,
that. Something
you've
like
taken
that.
A rank rise.
He's got the bonus points today, no doubt about it. There's our Twitter on the left-hand side, Sam, at FPL Family. You can find us on Instagram as well, at FPL Family.
It's mostly
and
just
also
bail pictures at the moment.
On the is that the Instagram? Just bail pictures.
Just bail.
Just the Welsh dragon emblazoned across the Instagram.
That's what I should have done. I should have had three squares or with the dragon across it, shouldn't I? No, because my pod, when we do the official podcast, they send us a clip, don't they, of something we said. Well, mine was about Bale, so I got a clip of Gareth Bale to put on there, and then I posted my Gareth Bale mug, and then, of course, Gareth Bale did wonders today, so I posted about him again. He's on the graphic for tonight. He's everywhere.
So there's the Twitter on the left-hand side. Callum Pettigrew says, Lee, 75% is too much. 75 pence is too much for Pepe. Callum, I agree with you. Lee Destroyer says, I can smell you. Lee, that is the smell of victory, my friend. The victory for Liverpool and for Spurs this weekend, of which we will talk about both. There's the Twitter on the left-hand side. Let's get into these games here. Right, let me hit refresh to make sure that we are looking at the right fixtures. And it takes you to game week 27, strangely. So let's go to game week 26. First, Sam, this is very much a so far live stream, isn't it?
You haven't had your captain play yet.
Halfway through, yes, I haven't had my captain. I've captained Dominic Calvert-Lewin this game week, as many of you, I'm sure, will know. And he doesn't play until tomorrow.
Yeah.
So when we come to our teams a bit later on, I definitely am a little bit behind the average, no doubt about it. But I don't think I'm in too bad a position, given that I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin to come in. A super chat from Kumar. Thank you, Kumar, for the super chat. Is Bale a buy, or was this week just a fluke? So here we go, Sam. Let's get straight
into... Are we going to start at Spurs?
We've got to start with Spurs 4, Burnley 0. And before I absolutely rip Burnley to shreds,
okay,
tell me about Gareth Bale and tell me about Spurs and that performance today. Not bad, eh?
No. That was the performance that I think we've had coming for a couple of weeks. It's been there, but we've just not really clicked. There's been something not quite right. And I think that something not quite right was that we were missing a bit of a spark. And my goodness, did Gareth Bale provide that? Now, the question about was it just a fluke? My honest opinion, and this is, forget my love of Gareth Bale and all things Gareth Bale.
How can we forget? That's not something we can forget, Sam.
Well, let's just park it for a second.
Well, we can park.
I'll come back to loving him in a minute.
We can't forget, but we can park.
Just park it for a second. I genuinely think that if you watch Spurs in those two Europa League matches, and I know what you're going to say, it was Wolfsburg and blah, 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 blah. Yes, fine. However, if you watched him in those performances, the first one when he started and was phenomenal, the second one when he came on and pretty much immediately scored and was brilliant, and then in the second half against West Ham when he came on, the impact has been growing. And I think what we've seen is a recovery from the injury and a building up of fitness levels. So suddenly he's able to finish training sessions. He feels more engaged with the team because he's able to be involved.
It's only taken him half a year, but he does look fit, I agree.
But he does look fit. And I think, although his hair looks atrocious.
Yeah, the man bun, I've not got too much love for the man bun, I'll be honest.
No, but I mean, to be honest, if that's the only negative you've got against him, then...
He's all right.
He's all right, isn't he? So my honest view on Gareth Bale is, and I said this on the podcast, and I think I said it on the FPL show this week, I think he's an FPL asset. I do. I think he is one that you can invest in.
Less than 1% owned coming into this game week, by the way.
Yeah.
So for Luke to go and treble captain him, he's takes brilliant. Balls of steel, frankly.
Yeah. But it was coming. It was quite obviously coming.
He had a couple of good performances, yeah.
You could see it coming. And that's the thing for me is I look at the Spurs performance today and I look at the fact that he took him off on 69 minutes. He's not taking him off on 69 minutes because he couldn't finish that game. He's taking him off because he wants to start him in the next game. And it's that confidence. It's growing in him.
So this is the next question. So B is in the live chat. Hey,
hey
B.
She is.
Who you had a Patreon chat with the other day. Did you recommend B bringing Gareth Bale to her FPL team?
No, but we did talk about Gareth Bale, but she's already got Kane and Son, and I think this is a dilemma, isn't it, for a lot of us.
But B's comment, by the way, is, Sam, we've been waiting for this all season.
We've been waiting for this all our lives, B. 7 years. 7 long years we've been waiting for this. And finally he's back.
So the question is, the original question was, is this just a flash in the pan?
No,
or is now Bale back? And I will let you pause for breath for a second while I talk about Burnley's performance in this game.
Yeah, but don't detract from Bale. Just show him some love.
And I won't detract from Bale at all, because if I look at the BPS performances, bear in mind this guy played 70 minutes.
69.
And 69 minutes. And if I look at the overall BPS for the game week so far, Bale is on 57, way ahead of anybody else.
Yeah.
So that tells you he's doing all the right things. Son, by the way, second on 45. So he had a very good game as well. More on him perhaps in a second, because I don't want this to be all about Bale, although clearly he is now, you know, a differential
just
we should consider.
For the podcasters, I'm just waving my Gareth Bale mug.
The Gareth Bale mug is out, podcasters, I can confirm. So Bale and Son, top for BPS in game week 26 so far. Third Bartley, but then fourth Reguilón, by the way. So Reguilón, again.
Also a great game.
Also good Reguilón. So one to consider. But, I hate to put...
You're going to put down on my...
I'm not going to put down on it because they did play well. But Burnley really were bad. They really, really were bad. From the first minute in this game, they came out and they set their stall out. And as soon as I saw that lineup, I thought, why is he playing Vidra and Rodriguez? Two up front. Why is he playing like a... He's playing a back four. And the thing that sort of swayed me in the end to thinking he's got this totally wrong, Sean Dyche, was that about 3-0 down, I think Sky Sports showed an average position match on the screen. And they know that they do it on the left-hand side. And the average position showed like Taylor and Lowton thought that they were Roberto Carlos and Cafu. It was ridiculous. They were like pressing forward, leaving me and Tarkowski hideously exposed. And you're like, okay, well, if you're going to play with the flying fullbacks and you're going to try that new and you're going to ask Taylor and Lowton to get at your fullbacks and push them back, what you really need is Brownhill and the other lad in the middle, Cork. You need Cork and Brownhill to be dropping in and making sure that they give me and Tarkowski a lot of cover, particularly in between those lines, because that's where Harry Kane operates. Well, let me tell you, neither of them bothered with that. They were absolutely terrible. So not only did we get a very, very different Burnley, but you've got a Burnley changed to a system that completely plays into the hands of Spurs. I could not believe what I was watching, honestly. At points in this
so
game,
annoyed.
We laughed. Because, honestly, if you're going to try that out, Sean Dyche, if you're going to try out being peak Brazil 1995, do it against Palace. Do it against Sheffield United. Don't do it against the best counter-attacking team in the league. It was ridiculous. Sean Dyche got it massively, massively wrong. And then it was like they were 3-0 down after half an hour. And then obviously the commentators are like, well, they've got, you know, you can't blame them for committing men forward now. And it's like, what do you mean now? They've been doing it since the first minute. And they're 3 down in 30 minutes. They were absolutely awful. So yes, Spurs, very good. Bale had a great game. I don't want to take anything away from Spurs. They were great. But Burnley really, really were bad. Tell me about Reguilón, though, in particular. Because we've talked a little bit about Bale and the Son and Kane triumvirate, and that worked well against a very, very bad Burnley. And I can't see you're going to have that much joy against Fulham, surely, or in any game, frankly, for the rest of the season. It was unbelievable. But Reguilón likes to pick it up, and he's very direct, isn't he, Reguilón?
Yeah.
Very central with his running.
And I think, you know, what? So for me, the Spurs team has got a core to it, and those core players are pivotal to the way that we play. And Reguilón has become one of that core. If he's fit, he plays every single week because the way that he defends and gets back with pace from attacks where he has gone with pace is exactly what we need. We need players like him that show that level of commitment. But what I love about him is his determination to go, cut in and throw the ball in. And when you see that come, there is always a good opportunity there for attacking returns. Now, I think the issue that we've had in the past, and part of the reason I was a little bit uneasy about Reguilón this week, because he's one that I looked at as part of my transfer strategy this week, and I thought, do I want to treble up on Spurs going into this week? And in the end, I decided that our form was probably not quite where you needed to be to do it.
Mm. I'll tell you who else was unsure about Reguilón this week. Roy Keane. Did you see him and Redknapp having a barley before the game today?
It wasn't mostly about Eric Dier. He went off on one.
No. Keane was...
Oh, no, he said
off.
About that's why Madrid didn't want him,
Oh, Keane was... It wasn't just Dier, let me tell you. He was going in on quite a few Spurs players.
He's got out of bed the wrong side this morning.
He made
himself look a bit of a muck. but I think what was interesting for me is that I was also a little bit apprehensive about Reguilón's fitness because he came back again in the last game week. But then didn't play in the Europa League, didn't make it through the whole game last week against West Ham. So I was just a little bit unsure as to whether he could get through the whole game at the moment. But now he's clearly shown that he can. I think for me, he is one of those players that when you're looking at defenders at that price point, you want ones that have got potential for attacking returns.
He has.
And he
no
clearly
doubt about
has.
It. Yeah, no doubt about it. And of course, as we all know, game week 29 coming up where you've got to pick teams that are playing. Going to be difficult to fill your team with, you know, 11 playing players because only half the teams play. Spurs are one of those teams. So Reguilón could be on the watch list.
You only have Son
yeah.
from Spurs. Mm. So you're in a better position than most, because you can kind of decide, well, how do I? Because people are going to treble up on Spurs for 29.
Yeah.
How do you treble on Spurs for 29? So is your view Reguilon and Kane? Is it you go with the two boys in the middle? Do you go Lloris? Looks like an okay option as well. What's your thoughts going into that?
It's a good question, because actually, if I'm going to have more than one Spurs player for 29, which I'm pretty much I'm sure I'm going to do...
Might as well do it for this
week. Might as well do it now, because you've got Palace at home, right? And that's why I'm asking you the questions about Reguilon. Because I've got... I think he got six, maybe even a bonus point tonight, Robertson. But not convincing from Liverpool again, right? Against Sheffield United, a better team, would have scored but that goal tonight, no doubt about it. We've got Chelsea next. I expect them, they'll put us to the sword.
Wow.
Then we're at home to Fulham, and you know Fulham are improving. I just still don't fancy us for clean sheets. So could I go from Robertson to Reguilon? Yes, I could. That would save me a couple of million, and then I can do something with in my midfield. Maybe move for a Gareth Bale or something.
Ooh.
Maybe. I mean, I'm looking at Harry Kane, and I'm looking enviously at Harry Kane, because again, he does what he does and he gets the goal. But I'm looking at some of the other Spurs assets and thinking there's nice differentials there.
There is, yeah.
Again, I go back to what I keep saying week on week, which is I'm bored of my team this season. I just want to try and make it fun again. And getting Kane feels a bit like you're just doing what everybody else is doing, whereas getting a Bale or a Reguilon feels a little bit more fun, you know. But we haven't spoken much about Son, and Son is a player that has been, let's face it, I wouldn't say heavily transferred out over the last few weeks, but people have been losing a bit of faith in Son. But he's returned today... Two assists, I think the three bonus points. No, of course, two bonus points. Most chances created, actually, looking in the Fantasy Football Scout members area right now for the game week. He is way out in front. Ziyech is second with five chances created. But Son is there with seven. Seven chances created for Son today. So should we be, if you've transferred him out, should we be considering getting him back?
Well, a lot of people were transferring out because he looked tired at the end of last game. Yeah. And I did agree that at the end of the last game against West Ham, he did look tired. But he had played... at incredibly high-paced, particularly in that second half when Bale came on. It was a very high-paced game. And equally, I think the thing is with Son, and Spurs fans in general who watch, or people that watch a lot of Spurs anyway, so you can be included in this conversation, will know that Son does give his all on the pitch. He's one of those live-or-die-by-it players.
Yeah.
And so at the end of every match, he does look knackered. But then you give him a midweek off... and he comes back and performs like he did today. And I thought he was excellent again today. He was unlucky not to score some goals. He was unlucky right at the end not to get another assist when he put in Harry Kane, who inexplicably...
Oh, I'll tell you what, that was like a 20-point swing for triple captains, wasn't it?
It was a disaster because it was a shot. It ended up being a shot off target, which took him out of the bonus points.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, so for me, that was three bonus points lost because obviously the one trebled up. Plus a goal, trebled up, lost. Plus an assist for Son, lost.
Unreal.
In one foul moment, it was probably 20 points worth of FPL points. Nightmare. So I think Son was unlucky not to get what he did today.
Okay.
More than he did today. And for me, he's one of those players where at 51.9% owned, not owning Son...
hurts if you don't have him,
...is going to really hurt. Yeah.
If you had a straight choice now between Son or Bale for
both.
Next week...
I'd have
both. Both. As well as Kane, potentially, what, treble up Spurs attack?
I am sorely tempted, and we'll talk about this later, but
treble up.
I am sorely tempted to sell Salah for Bale this week.
Oh, goodness me. Goodness
see
me.
Anything, but maybe leads us into talking about Salah in a minute, but I didn't see much from him again.
Well, I didn't see much from him again, agree, but I can't tell you how bad Burnley were today.
But it's not.
I can't tell you.
But Crystal Palace won't be much better.
They'll be crap as well, no doubt about it. I'm really interested to see how this second game goes against what is an improving Fulham side, right? Fulham haven't been smashed much at all lately. They've been very good. Defensively better as well, with Anderson and a few others coming in. I will be interested to see how that game goes. And it probably will be that game that makes my decision as to who I'm going to get in, I think, ahead of that Palace fixture. Because honestly... I'm not going to take too much from that game today. Burnley were absolutely awful. And if he thinks he's going to try being, you know, Brazil from the mid-90s...
He tried to take us by surprise.
He is going down with the dead men, Sean Dyche. Absolutely terrible. Let's go back. Cast your mind back to Saturday. Man City 2, West Ham 1. A good game. Antonio getting on the score sheet again. West Ham, despite the defeat...
they were good.
Looking good. And I think actually deserves something from the game. But in a game where... you know, maybe, you know, Antonio scores so Stones and Diaz don't get the clean sheet. They pop up with goals at the other end. Absolutely incredible. Diaz in particular, a bullet header. So, again, if you're a Cancelo owner, unlucky because you're the one that you've picked the short straw for this game. He's probably going to come back for the next game, I wouldn't worry about it. But these guys look pretty good, don't they? And I don't think the Antonio goal is going to put anybody still doubling on the Manchester City defence going forward, especially with the double game week next week coming up.
I find this question really difficult because I'm still
on the two, aren't you?
Only on two, and I have no desires to go up from two to three because I look at them and I think, yes, you're right. Cancelo was the unlucky soul this time around, alongside Sterling, of course, who was another unlucky soul this week.
Foden benched as well, right?
Foden benched. But then in the middle of the week, it's going to be a different roulette and we're going to see some different benchings. And then in game week 27, they've got two fixtures. We're going to see some different benchings because they've also got the Champions League to follow the week after. So, you know, we are going to see a variety of kind of strange team sheets, I think, from City in the next few weeks. And that will continue for quite a long time yet, given the Champions League, as I've already mentioned, the League Cup final coming up soon.
Sure.
And the FA Cup. So, for me, we've just spent a long time talking about Reguilón. I would rather own him than double up on the City defence because I know he's going to start week in, week out. I cannot say the same about Man City. And Spurs have just as many doubles to come as City do. They're just not scheduled yet.
Do you not think Reguilón's a bit of a rotation risk with Davies, etc.? Or does he, when he's fit, he definitely is the first choice?
He's the first choice. He is 100%.
Okay.
He's fit, he plays.
All right, well, City, again, look pretty good. I think they're now 12 points clear
at
the top of the league. I mean, it's in the bag, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's done. I mean, I did notice, though, except for the Spurs boys and the Arsenal boys, both doing very well in the BPS this week, but fifth for midfielders overall was Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah.
Back in that Man City side, absolutely sublime assist for Diaz's goal. Not even from a set piece, just a worldie of a cross out of nowhere. So this is a Kevin De Bruyne who's still finding his feet, right? He's been out of action for a little while.
Yeah.
Still finding his way back into the game and he produces an assist like that. It just made my FPL radar go off a little bit.
Bing, bing.
At a time when a lot of players around me are not going to have this guy and a lot of managers are going to say, well, listen, I've got Stones, Cancelo, Diaz, Gundogan, I've maxed out on City.
Surely, it's nice to have a choice.
Well, surely being on two there, you've got to be looking at that. You're saying Salah to Bale. Okay, I understand your heart making that decision, but your head must be saying to you, well, Salah to De Bruyne, double game week. Not going to be rested, is he? Surely, if anything, Pep's going to be looking to give him momentum and rhythm coming back into that team.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, but equally, I also find myself thinking, as a Gundogan owner,
would you not have Gundogan as the shield? Because he can, again, play very advanced at the weekend, can get forward, can get goals. And since a lot of managers have got him, you'd say, okay, well, I've got him in my midfield. But I've also got now a sword pick in Kevin De Bruyne. I mean, Kevin De Bruyne captain for next week could go very well for you, couldn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely it could. I mean, I don't know. I just don't really want to treble up. There's something about them that it hasn't hurt me not having three of them so far. I don't see it hurting me that much going into next week because the majority of the double ups are in the defence. Somebody's going to miss out in both of those games. So as long as it's not Diaz, I'll escape it. But it's probably going to be at some point unless he misses out in midweek. I don't know. How many do you have? You have three?
I have three. I have Diaz and Cancelo and Gundogan. And to be honest with you, as Gavin Doyle is saying in the live chat, they're going to miss games. I understand that. We have money all over our teams. I have a good bench. So if Cancelo doesn't play, I mean, he's going to play in the second game you'd expect. But even if he doesn't, you know, next week, I've got, or the week after, I've got players that can come in. No problem at all.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say is, given that you aren't on three, would you now bring in a third knowing that they don't play in game week 29? Because you're giving yourself a bit of a headache, aren't you, for 29? Your transfers, if anything, should be focused on getting players for 29.
Correct.
But sitting on three, I'm happy sitting on three. They can get points at any time.
That's
any
true.
Game, any time, no doubt about it. But I am tempted by Kevin De Bruyne. I really am. Mr. A is in the live chat as well. He's saying, don't listen to him, Sam. Get Bale. You don't want Kevin De Bruyne. That's boring. Get Gareth Bale is the one to get. And Dylan Williams says, can Bale play 90 every week? Well, that, again, is another question.
Doesn't
no doubt
need
about
to.
It.
Just needs to play 69 against two goals and an assist.
Well, there you go. So City looking good. My advice would be get three if you haven't. I know you think differently.
Yeah, we disagree on this, don't we?
I know we disagree, but my advice would be get three if you haven't. And if you haven't got Kevin De Bruyne, then do have a look at him. But West Ham, for their part, like I said at the beginning, looked okay. I'm not worried. If I was an Antonio owner, if I owned Suchek, I thought Koufal had a good game. If they've got any of these guys, I think you're probably holding, aren't you? Because they have got that game in 29.
Yeah, I mean, I sold Antonio this week. Like you did, I think. We did the same transfer.
I did him for Watkins, yeah.
Yeah, but that was okay because Watkins also plays in 29. So it was like, okay, we'll take out a 29er, but replace him with a 29er. So it feels all right to do that. But I thought West Ham were really impressive again this week. I know they lost, and that's a weird thing to say when they lose a game. But when you lose a game like Man City, playing in the way that West Ham did, there is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of in that result. Yeah. They were phenomenal.
And you know what? Having taken him out this week, Antonio, I'm now looking at his fixture for next week, Leeds at home, and thinking, ooh, wish I had him for that.
Well, maybe we'll talk about Leeds in a minute, because Leeds are a little bit Jekyll and Hyde at the minute. You never know really which Leeds side are you going to turn up? And that's a challenge sometimes, because, you know...
Well, that's a good segue. Go on then. So Leeds nil, Aston Villa 1. Not a result that I was expecting, given that my bench boost had Bamford, Rafinha and Dallas in it. So that's a bit of a stinker, to be fair. So that's that chip burned for another season. I expected more from Leeds, but Villa bossed it. They bullied them. They just threw themselves about, got physical with Leeds, and Leeds didn't like it.
In a way that I wasn't anticipating. Like, I spent a lot of last week talking about how Villa, without Matty Cash, hadn't been as solid defensively, and they weren't going to have Jack Grealish probably, and what would that mean for them? Because, you know, they'd ridden their luck in terms of clean sheets of late, only Martinez keeping them in it against Brighton and all of that stuff that I'd kind of reeled off on shows and pods and all sorts of places. And then you couple that with the performance that we saw from Leeds on Tuesday against Southampton, where particularly in the second half of that game, they were absolutely brilliant going forward. And you think back to the first part of their double game week in 25, where Rafinha, how he didn't get about 800 points, I'm not entirely sure. So this going into this match, I was like, this isn't going to be easy. Villa won't keep a clean sheet here. Hence why I didn't take a minus four for Martinez, because I thought I was
Martinez, man.
I thought I was...
killing me.
I very nearly took a minus four from this week, but this game put me off because I thought... Leeds will score.
Surely Leeds will get a goal.
Leeds will score. Yeah. So yes, he's going to get a clean sheet against Sheffield United.
But you know what? They never really even looked like it, Leeds.
They never looked like it. No, they didn't.
They never looked... Martinez, again, got some bonus points because a lot of the shots that Leeds were getting away were kind of like... They were catching practice, frankly, for Martinez. And that's becoming a bit of a theme, isn't it?
Yeah, and even when he hurt his groin and couldn't kick the ball upfield, he was still able to catch balls. And that shows you quite how ineffective the Leeds front guys were that time around. Now, it'll be interesting to see whether Martinez... Sort of comments from Dean Smith suggest that he's got something up with his groin. They're going to have to see whether he's going to be available for the middle of the week. My gut says, if he's not fit, they won't risk him against Sheffield United because they've got bigger games coming up that they're going to need Martinez
for.
So let's see whether we see him in midweek. He's one to watch. I think he's fine. I don't think it's like a big problem. But
the Villa fixture's coming up though. Wolves at home next, then Newcastle away. Then it's the Spurs game in 29. So just to have any player playing in that 29 is good, regardless of who they're playing. And then Fulham at home before they play. You know, there's a red fixture in game week, 31 against Liverpool. But it's Liverpool, right? So the fixtures for Villa don't look too bad. If you've got any of them, I think you hold. And in particular, we'll talk about Watkins in just a second, but top for shots, joint top for shots actually this week, Harry Kane with 5 and Anwar El Ghazi as well with 5 shots. So getting those shots away against that Leeds, fairly suspect looking Leeds back line.
And it was interesting, wasn't it? Because Ross Barkley started this game on the bench. El Ghazi obviously started. It wasn't actually on paper the Aston Villa side I thought we would get. I was kind of a bit surprised to see without Grealish there, I thought, you know, Barkley might be the one that stepped up.
Sure.
But El Ghazi played really well, actually, and I thought he had some really good opportunities and could have got done better than he did. So I think going into the second part of the double game week for Aston Villa, it looks good for them. If Sheffield United played the way that they did tonight against Liverpool, there'll be plenty of opportunities for Villa to score.
Any regrets on Watkins? I mean, he obviously got the assist, but it wasn't that much else happening around him.
No
fourth
regrets.
Overall for BPS amongst forwards for this game week. So not a bad performance. So let's see what he does in the next game, I'd suggest.
No regrets for me. I think, their performance his performance was decent enough. I wasn't expecting a lot from him without Jack Grealish, to be honest. But there was...
You ain't taking him out, though, are you? Ahead of those fixtures. He's got the game in 29.
And he's got the game in 29. And if you listen to what Dean Smith has got to say, there's a chance that Grealish may be available to play in midweek. Okay. If he is, makes Watkins a better option, in my view.
Yeah, all right. Well, there we go. And Leeds, for their part, I think Jekyll and Hyde sums it up perfectly. I mean, they were phenomenal against Saints, although that might say more about Saints than it does Leeds. But Villa really put them to the sword this week. Very physical, Aston Villa. Leeds players bouncing off from left, right and centre. Mm. Just never got to grips with the game, Leeds. And like we say, creativity-wise, I still thought Rafinha looked okay. He did create, I think, four chances in the game, which was joint third overall so far in the game week. And he's also top for crosses this game week with 10. But again, that just shows you that Villa's strategy was, well, if you want him to have the ball, show him down the line, get him wide, cross it in, and we've got the defenders that can deal with that, with the likes of Tyrone Mings, not troubling or, you know, keeping Bamford under wraps, frankly. So I still like him, though. I still like him. And if you said to me now, you've got to sell a Leeds attacker, Lee, would you sell Bamford or Rafinha? I'd sell Bamford right now. Because Rafinha still looks a threat every single game he plays. So I think I'd be happy to keep him. In fact, they do have the game in game week 29, as far as I'm aware, against Fulham. So there's a pretty good chance I'm going to be keeping all of my Leeds assets, despite the defeat here.
Yeah.
They're going to get a stay of execution.
I don't think it makes any sense to get rid of the Leeds boys. And I think, you know, moving forwards, they make a lot of sense. And then and they're nice and cheap as well. This is the other thing that we shouldn't forget, is that, you know, particularly players like Rafinha and Stuart Dallas, if you've gone that way, or the goalkeeper, if you've gone that way, they're cheap. So it's not like they're costing you loads of... It's not like they're Salah.
Sure. No, absolutely. Try and explain to me how West Brom win 1-0 at home to Brighton, when Brighton missed two penalties, have a free kick chalked off for I don't know what reason. And I just don't know how they won that game, quite frankly. Honestly, have no idea. I'm not looking at FPL assets from either of these sides necessarily in too much detail, but quickly, your thoughts on the game?
I mean, I've bought in Ben White a couple of weeks ago because Brighton playing game week 29 against Newcastle. This game baffled me. Honestly, it baffled me. I don't know how they missed two penalties. I just don't know. And I don't understand what was wrong with that goal. In my view, it was a complete farce what happened in that moment, where you had, it wasn't a goal, it was a goal, it wasn't a goal, it was a goal. Oh, it wasn't a goal. It was ridiculous. And I think if you are a Lewis Dunk owner, we've been saying for weeks that the underlying stats for Lewis Dunk suggested that a goal was coming. Obviously then did get what, in my view, was a perfectly good goal and should have been registered as a perfectly good goal. West Brom rode their luck a bit, because Brighton should have scored. But equally, you know, I think West Brom did have, they had some, they've still got some decent options there. They do. And I think I think West Brom are doing their best to stay out of it. Now, whether they can get out of it, I think it's a bit too late.
Key games are coming up. Newcastle at home, Crystal Palace away before they blank in 29. So because of that blank, even if you were considering bringing any in, I don't think you are now because of the blank. But those next two games are pretty key, including this Brighton game is pretty key. They got something out of it, and they did, to be fair, and they did. Super chat from Ken's. Thank you, Stealth Panda. Brighton have had 66 shots in the last three games and one goal. Yeah, and that sums it up, you know. And I think I just saw in the chat a second ago, if Brighton had a decent striker that could put something away, they would be, I think, out of danger by now, because they do create, they just don't tuck any away.
They're so frustrating.
It's unbelievable. And I noticed, actually, after the game, some of that frustration came out in Lewis Dunk's post-match interview.
Yeah.
Being very open, honest, you know, what's going on with the game? I don't understand what's happening, etc., etc. You could feel the frustration in the Brighton voices, no doubt about
they
it.
They just
no doubt
need
about
to
it.
Score some goals. They're making the chances. They have to finish them. If they don't start finishing them, they are going to be dragged into trouble.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. If they're not already dragged into the trouble. Chelsea 0, Manchester United 0 from today.
As predicted, this
the
one.
The segue to this game is bad refereeing, because as we mentioned at the top of the show, obviously Lewis Dunk a bit agreed with what was going on with Lee Mason in that game. The referee in this game, can't remember who reffed it, but...
Stuart Atwell?
Was it Stuart Atwell?
Was it?
Absolute guff. I mean, really, really not good. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer coming out in the same way that Lewis Dunk did. Luke Shaw coming out after the game with some pretty... Not being funny, some pretty incriminating stuff about the referee. Mm. I don't know if you saw the post-match comments, but Luke Shaw's basically saying that he overheard the referee saying to Harry Maguire, you know, I'm not going to give that penalty because of the, you know,
I'll get backlash.
Yeah, because of the backlash that will be in the press and stuff. It's like, well, that doesn't matter, mate. If you think it's a penalty, it's a penalty. Your job is to give it, not to worry about the backlash afterwards. I mean, if that is true, what Luke Shaw said there, he's banging trouble, the ref, isn't he? Or is he not? The refs are so... listen, I don't want to talk about refs. What I want to do is talk about the game. You're right. 0-0, I think,
as we predicted,
was quite predictable. And actually, United have made a bit of a habit of drawing 0-0 against their rivals for the top four.
Yeah.
I think apart from being smashed 6-1 by you earlier in the season, it's basically been 0-0 every single time. In games that they could have won, and they could have won again today. They could have won again today with McTominay, with that ball across the front in the sort of 80-somethingth minute. They could have won this game. And equally, probably should have had a penalty. Anything else to say about this game other than it was a bit of a stalemate and both managers are probably okay with it?
No, I mean, this is the reason I didn't triple captain Fernandez, really.
Yeah, but could have had a penalty.
Could have, and you said that, didn't you? That we thought it was a penalty. So you said, you know, we'd not triple captain. We ruled him out as a captaincy option because of this Chelsea game, but here he is getting another penalty. And then, of course, the penalty saga that followed that happened. I think Manchester United are interesting. And I was talking to Josh earlier about this because it was only when I was looking, I did a Patreon Zoom with Martin later on at the back end of this week. And we had a look at the Manchester United fixtures. And it's something that I hadn't necessarily... realised how awful the Manchester United fixtures are.
They're tough, right? Yeah.
Between now and the end of the season. So as a doubled up Manchester United FPL manager, owner, in
because you have Shaw,
Luke
right?
Shaw, as well as Bruno. You know, this game week was obviously fine for holding the two of them. I'm very happy to have kept the clean sheet for Luke Shaw today. And in fact, I was a bit disappointed to see him lose his bonus points that he was on for.
Yeah, he was on for a couple of bonus points,
wasn't
he?
For a large chunk of that game. And then Mendy did a couple of saves towards the end, which was very frustrating. But anyway, but I'm looking at these games going forward and thinking, you know, they don't play in 29, which is a key
correct,
factor.
Yeah. Man City next.
They have Manchester City next. Where do I next see a clean sheet coming from? Now, we've just said that Manchester United do seem to be able to get 0-0s against the big sides.
They'd take a 0-0 against City, wouldn't they?
And can you really see them managing it against Man City the way that Man City are right now?
No, I can't. To be honest,
I can't either.
City will win that game, in my opinion, yeah.
Because you're also a Luke Shaw owner, because you did it the same week as me, and we did it for this same period of time.
Yeah.
And I do feel like Luke Shaw has... been a good signing for that period of time, but now I'm wondering whether
it's City next, and then it's West Ham at home before the blank, and then Brighton at home, and then Spurs. So yeah, it's if you look at the fixture ticker on Fantasy Football Scout homepage and sort by difficulty, they are at the bottom there. Yeah, at the bottom. So I don't know. I can get away with benching Shaw next week because of the way my team looks and then bring him back for West Ham at home. But
do you want him for
West Ham at home? You'd back West Ham to score in that game, wouldn't you?
Well,
maybe not Brighton in game week 30, but you'd back Antonio and his mates to do something at Old Trafford, wouldn't you, in game week 28?
Well, I think you would, but Manchester United have become a bit of an expert at turning on the 0-0s when they need to. The trouble is, 0-0s, particularly next week against Man City, isn't going to be enough. If they want to win the title or stand any chance of winning
the title, are they?
But they are the next best at the moment in league standings. So if anybody's going to take it from Manchester City, you would think it would be Manchester United. If they're going to stand any chance, they absolutely have to beat City next week. They cannot go and play for a 0-0 in the way that they've become so attuned to.
Here's a question from FPL Tips. He's saying, would you consider benching Bruno next week? That's a question, by the way. I don't think you can you?
The problem with The problem with Bruno is that
all it takes is a dodgy penalty.
Well, so earlier today we had a conversation about Bale, and Lee said, why don't you just sell Fernandes? He's got terrible fixtures. And
especially if you're wildcarding in 30-31. So you've got that get out of jail free. If you take Bruno out now for, say, Bale or some other ridiculous differential like even Kevin De Bruyne, and you get it horribly wrong, right? He's got City and a blank, so I don't think you're going to get it horribly wrong. But you've got the wild card there in 30-31, which is when you're planning to play it, if I remember you saying rightly, where you can reverse that decision and say, okay, got that wrong. back in he comes.
Yes. Apart from his effective ownership in those games will be through the roof.
Mm.
Because it always is over 100. So if he does anything, it's killing me. And I've also got a hell of a lot of money invested in Bruno because I've owned him since day dot. So you take out a player that you've got a lot of money invested in, and team value is less important at this time of the year, but it still means I have to take somebody else that I like out in order to afford to bring him back in. And these are when the questions then come up about 29, is that there are certain players that you have to be absolutely certain you don't want them back if you're going to sell them, because the cost involved in buying the back is so big.
Okay, Sue Habe is saying, thank you for the comment. He is saying, Sam, would you, if you had to, if you wanted Kevin De Bruyne that badly, would you sell Salah or Bruno?
Salah over Bruno.
You'd sell Salah over Bruno. Okay, well, there it is. Chelsea, for their part then, again, part of the reason I thought this would be a nil-nil is because Chelsea, as we've seen, pretty good defensively and a little bit inept going forward. Hakim Ziyech, interestingly, second for chances created. Son, as we mentioned before, top for chances created this game. But Ziyech in there second with five. But outside of that, I didn't see too much from Chelsea, although I did miss a part of this game, but I didn't watch all of this game. What did you make of the game? Because you missed the same part as me, right? Because we were busy doing something with the children together, weren't we? But what else happened in this game that caught your eye? I mean, Werner not starting.
My issue with Chelsea.
Pulisic not starting.
And that's my issue with Chelsea.
Is he still tinkering? Is he still finding out his best team here?
Okay, so I've got two issues with Chelsea. My first issue with Chelsea is that when we had Lampard, when it was Lampard's Chelsea, they weren't very good at the back, but they were good going forwards.
They were okay at the back.
They were okay at the back.
Scored a lot of goals.
They were scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Tuchel's arrived. They're suddenly really good at the back, but they're not scoring any goals. So, fine, you think, as an FPL manager, okay, well, let's park the forward options and let's pick a defender. So you play somebody like Rudiger or Mendy, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But today, he plays Chilwell instead of Alonso.
Yeah.
We've become accustomed to seeing Alonso in the starting 11. There's a lot of managers that have been getting off Chilwell because he's not been playing in for the last few weeks. Suddenly he plays again today, throws up that quandary.
Reece James benched again for Hudson-Odoi.
And then so, Hudson-Odoi goes off with and was ice packed at half time.
Some injury there,
so some injury there. So let's see how that pans out. But I don't feel like there's enough consistency in the Chelsea back line, apart from Rudiger and Mendy. But then Rudiger, you've got no upside. And Mendy, there's virtually no upside either. Although he did, I think, get some bonus points today. So that's tough. It's tough because if you're going to invest that level of money that you need to invest for the Chelsea defence, you do want there to be some upside as well, I think. Like, you know, that's part of the reason why Luke Shaw and Reguilon are attractive, because there's some upside to them.
Yeah.
But then moving into the midfield and the forward positions, how the hell can you pick one? You just can't, can you? At a time where we're talking about Manchester City rotation, you might need your bench if somebody gets benched in a single game week. How can you have a Chelsea player? Because you just don't know who he's going to start week in, week out.
I'll tell you what is interesting about Chelsea, though. They do play Everton at home next game week. But then after that, it's Leeds away.
Mm.
Then it's the blank, of course, which is difficult to navigate. But then it's West Brom at home, Crystal Palace away, Brighton at home, coming out of that blank game week.
But that's why
the fixtures look great.
But that's why I think you've got time with Chelsea. And I said this to Martin, and I spoke quite a lot about Chelsea the other day, because he owns Rudiger, which actually hasn't gone badly so far with a clean sheet in this one.
Sure.
But I think, you know, you look at Chelsea, and I think Tuchel is still trying to work out who his best is. I don't think he knows yet. I think he's still trying to figure that one out.
Well, as Matt D says in the live chat, Mount is the only Chelsea striker. He is the one that seems to, and I must admit, when Tuchel came in, I thought, well,
we were worried for him.
I was a bit worried for him because I think he was a bit, you know,
I hate
to reel out the typical rhetoric, but yes, English player, Lampard's favourite, all the rest of it. Lampard always played him, sees himself in him, all that crap that we read in the papers. But actually, Tuchel's come in and obviously sees the same thing in Mason Mount. And if you speak to the Chelsea fans, and we've got a couple of pretty avid Chelsea fans in your family, they both absolutely love Mason Mount and the shift that he puts in every single week and what he does for the team. So despite Tuchel tinkering around the edges, he seems to be pretty fixed on Mason Mount, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I think
Not blowing us away in FPL, though.
But exactly. Mm. And so what, in my view, and my thought process is that for most FPL managers right now, Chelsea are a non-option because they do not play in 29. We're all thinking about 29 now that the big double is done.
Yeah.
Whereas I think what you can do with Chelsea, given where the fixtures change, and they change for the better from 30 onwards. So I think you've got 27, 28, to look at what's happening with Chelsea, to watch them, to see how Tuchel tinkles. And to and also, of course...
Try saying that fast three
Tuchel
times.
Tinkles. And to work out what you want to do there. And having still got wild cards in play, a 31, 30-ish wild card with Chelsea in mind...
Yeah.
...looks like a good time for them to be playing it.
Yeah, very hard to nail your colours to a mast right now, isn't it, from Chelsea? Certainly attacking-wise. Yeah. Defensively, you could have a punt. Not a punt, you could...
Well, you've got to have a boring punt.
You could pick one or two, couldn't you, potentially? But going forward, still very difficult to pick. Let's talk about Sheffield United 0, Liverpool 2.
You can leave this one.
Well, yeah, from my perspective, obviously I'm pleased with the win, but it kind of went to the script that I thought it would go to, which was I thought we would win today, but I thought it'd be unconvincing, and it was pretty unconvincing. Mm. I mean, I know a lot of you will be sitting there saying, hey, you won, Lee, what more do you want? You know, Curtis Jones gets the goal, Firmino gets the goal. I think it's an own goal, actually, but Firmino gets, you know, gets the second one. You know, what more do you want? An away win, happy days, gets you back on track, but... I really didn't see enough from that game.
No.
And there was a few times when, you know, even Sheffield United, the likes of Ollie Burke, was made to look like Ronaldinho down that left-hand side sometimes. And there was a couple of times when the ball came in and Kabak was kind of ball-watching a little bit and McBurnie got the wrong side of him. And a better striker scores in those positions, but McBurnie just, you know, couldn't get it past Adrian. So, listen, I'm happy with the win, but I'm not sitting here thinking, oh, wow, you know, that was an amazing performance from Liverpool. Mane, well off it again today. Well off it. How many times was I slagging him off today? And I hate to do it because I love these players, right? They've given me some of the best times of my life as a football supporter in the last two or three years.
I was about to say, excuse me.
No. Honestly,
but
you know,
added as a football supporter.
Yeah, as a football supporter. Yeah. But, you know, Mane is looking right off it. And I do understand why a lot of you guys in the live chat talking about losing Mo Salah. I can understand
it's the cost.
It. And I would love to know in the comments below, if you're watching the replay, or let us know in the live chat right now, if you've got Salah, which a lot of us have, what is the plan? What are you doing with Salah? Because there's a lot of managers out there that sold him 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, and they don't regret it. And I'm sitting here hanging on to him, thinking, whoa, he's highly owned. He's got a couple of goals recently. He's on penalties. Could have scored a couple tonight.
Salah's always... So the thing with Salah is that his ownership, he will always be highly owned, because a lot of the dead teams own him, because he was popular at the beginning of the season. So unlike, say, Son, who wasn't that popular at the beginning of the season, not as popular as he is now anyway, well, he's in a lot of active teams. Salah, his ownership has dropped a lot lately because live teams are having enough of him. And I think at his price point, I can see why. So I've held him all this time. And I was saying to one of the other guys that I did a Patreon, they've blended now. I don't remember who it was I was talking to. I think it might have been Omar. We were talking about Salah. I think it was, because he's a Liverpool fan. And I was saying, you know, I think for me, these next couple of fixtures that Liverpool have, you weren't going to take him out ahead of this one, particularly as it was a double in the double game week.
Sure.
And then the next two fixtures on paper look okay, don't they? It's Fulham and Wolves.
Right?
Fulham have been better. Wolves... they're a bit a hit and miss, so, you know, anything could happen there. And I thought, you know, for me, going into that, those two games, he will probably get a stay of execution. But what I'm finding, I'm increasingly drawn to selling him, because I'm not seeing enough from him to warrant that 12.6-ish million price tag that he has on his head.
Well, the other thing you've got to consider is that with a player like that, you want to be able to captain every single week.
At least think...
He is one of my nailed-on captaincy choices. But
I
we're going
can't
into
remember
next
the last
week.
Time I thought of captaining Salah.
No, well, you go into next week and you think, well, it's the City double, so you're probably going to have a City.
Yeah.
You might choose to go Spurs against Crystal Palace, of course. And then if you look to game week 28, who have we got there? So Everton have a reasonable game at home to Burnley. City have got Fulham away. Liverpool, yes, away at Wolves, but would you go Salah captain? I don't know. Then it's the blank. Then it's Arsenal away. I don't think you would have a Salah captain in that game. And then you're talking about Aston Villa at home in 31 in a game week where, you know, Chelsea have got Crystal Palace. Who else? Spurs. Well, Spurs have got Manchester United. So there are some reasonably difficult games there. But one of the games is Man City against Leeds. And you'd back Man City to go big against Leeds. So I'm looking at the next sort of five game weeks and thinking, where would I captain Salah? And not only do the fixtures put me off, but the form and the way Liverpool are playing puts me off as well. This is a guy that you want to be captaining, or at least thinking about captaining every single week.
Totally agree.
Difficult to disagree with that, isn't it? Sheffield United, unfortunately, plucky in the first half. I think Liverpool did create plenty of chances, but listen, they've got a lot of injuries. Not enough points on the board, I'm afraid. They do look dead and buried, I'm afraid. Where else do we want to go? Any of these other games you want to talk about? Let's just do very, very quickly, because I don't want to spend any time on Palace versus Fulham, frankly. But Leicester 1, Arsenal 3. Was it a case of Arsenal looking better, or did Leicester miss Maddison and then later in the game Harvey Barnes too much?
Yeah, I think a bit of both. As predicted, we both thought that, and I've said it for months or whole season, I think Maddison is key in that Leicester side. I genuinely do. I think he is brilliant. And every time I watch him, I really like him. I really like the impact that he has on everyone around him, as well as being a really, really good player himself. And my concern going into this week was, without him, what impact will that have on Barnes, on Vardy, on just the connection between the midfield and the forwards, the midfield and the defence?
Sure, yeah.
And what I think we saw early on in that game is a lot. It had a lot of impact. Now, I didn't think it made them blunt. They had opportunities, but they just weren't as good as they have been so far. And then the injury to Barnes... It's gutting if you brought him in, and he was popular this week. He was a very popular transfer in this week. And I think it's disappointing. Don't worry about it, I'll pick up in a minute.
That's right, I've got it.
I need it for when I look at my team. it's a very disappointing end to a double game week to see him go off in the first game in the way that he did. Particularly now we know that he's out for 6 weeks. And I think the thing is...
Who would you bring in for him then? So a lot of people will be on Harvey Barnes now and brought him in for that double game week, as you say. Where do you go now? Is it, if you haven't got Gundogan, then obviously I think you'd go there. Is it Suchek? Is it Rafinha?
I think it's Suchek or Rafinha, isn't it? Because they play in 29.
Because of the 29?
Yeah, okay. or you take a chance and you go for maybe one of the West Brom midfielders. Or you go Lookman, who I think we haven't...
West Brom, they don't even play in 29.
Sorry, who do I mean then?
West Ham?
Well, no, because we had Suchek. I don't know. Or you go Lookman at Fulham, who I think, you know, is still a differential, is in the right sort of price bracket, and Fulham have looked better. And we don't know... I mean, they play Leeds in 29. Who knows what Leeds type are getting that day. So maybe you could
I think there are choices...
The trouble is with Harvey Barnes is that he's quite cheap, and so going up from him is quite difficult. Because there's a lot of people that you'd want, but getting up to them is hard.
There's a few people in the chat suggesting Jesse Lingard as well, who has impressed.
Yeah, he's been really good.
No, that's a great shout from the live chat. I like that. And a lot of people saying Saka as well, El Ghazi as well, maybe Lucas Moura from Spurs.
I don't know if Lucas Moura is going to keep his spot. I wouldn't go there.
There are some options, no doubt about it. So Harvey Barnes owners, it is a real shame to see that happen to him this week. But there are some other options. And the chat are quite rightly reminding us that Lingard can't play against Manchester United in game week 28. So if you are going to bring in Jesse Lingard...
Just do it for 29 then.
If you are going to bring him in, then bringing him in for a home game against Leeds looks pretty good. But then just remember that you will have to bench him or sell him again for 28 because you play Manchester United ahead of the game against Arsenal in 29. So, Leicester looks a little bit off it, I must admit, without those two players. And without Johnny Evans now at the back, I wonder whether that might just take its toll on them a little bit. Let's have a look at their fixtures going forward. It's Brighton next, then Sheffield United. So if you've got Leicester assets, if you're sitting on, say, a Jamie Vardy, difficult to sell him ahead of those two. But then they do blank, and then they come out of the blank to Manchester City and then West Ham away.
Thing is, do you
difficult
feel,
fixtures.
And do you feel like what we might see now is a return to... Because so if you remember back to the beginning of this season, we spent a lot of time, or I spent, I remember, a lot of time... giving Vardy some stick about how awful I thought he was playing, not in games, but then he kept getting given penalties. And so on paper, he looked like he was doing quite well if you weren't watching the games, if you just saw the results.
Yeah.
But at the moment, the way that there's far less penalties in the game than there were at the beginning of the season. So what I fear we might get from Vardy is a return to that lack of service from the midfield and therefore in turn, a lack of... FPL returns from him.
Yeah, could be. Hamza Siddiqui in the live chat is saying, talk about Pepe. No, he's rubbish. He's worth about three more
points than he
was
last
week. But
they do play in 29.
Don't get Pepe. Right, that is the fixtures so far this game week. Obviously, it's Everton versus Southampton tomorrow. City Wolves on Tuesday. Then we go again with another round on Wednesday and again on Thursday. It is relentless for these players. And there are a few squads like Leicester, like Sheffield United, like Liverpool that are suffering from a lot of injuries because of this unrelenting schedule this season. It really, really is incredible. Let's have a look, Sam, at our teams for the week. And before we do, actually, let's have a Manager of the Month update for February. So this is the, these are the points as they stand before this game week started. So obviously I wait until the end of this game week to total everything up, put it into my little magic spreadsheet and tell you guys who has won the February Manager of the Month prize. But so far, Moha is top with 354 points. Mohamed is hanging in there at 352. And Richard still in third. Richard was third last game week. He had a good score last game week. So now he's up in hanging in third with 349 points.
It's close though, isn't it?
It is pretty close. It's pretty close. And there is all to play for. And of course, still plenty of football to go in this double game week. And chips out there as well. So Moha, Mohamed and Richard absolutely bang in the game. But so are a number of our other patrons. So it's looking good. It's looking competitive.
Very tight.
For February. And it is a good time if you are looking, if you're watching this video in March, which I think starts on Monday.
Tomorrow.
1st of March, tomorrow.
Where's February gone, by the way?
February has absolutely flown by, hasn't it?
It's gone by in a blur of
football. Absolutely flown by. But March the 1st, tomorrow, Monday. So if you're watching the replay of this video on YouTube, March is, and the beginning of a month is a great time to come and join us over on Patreon. We will be restarting the Manager of the Month competition for March. It doesn't matter how you got on in February or how you've got on this season. Everyone starts from zero again at the beginning of March, and I total up the weeks on my spreadsheet to see how everybody's getting on. So if you want to come and join us over on Patreon, the links are in the description below, patreon.com/FPL family. Three different tiers there. $3 tier if you just want to listen to our bonus podcast on a Friday, our Ohana podcasts, which we do the day before or even the morning before the either Friday deadline or Saturday deadline.
Yeah.
You'll get access to our Slack community as well. If you want to come and support us with $5 at the Manager of the Month tier, that's when you get everything in the $3 tier, as well as access to these monthly competitions that we track here live on a Sunday night. And if you want to go the whole hog, you want to go for the $10 tier and the Zoom tier. And again, we talk about this quite often in terms of talking to the different patrons and talking about their teams.
Them.
Absolutely great. Really, really good. And if you want to get involved with us at that level and get all of the stuff at the previous two tiers, then have a look at the Zoom tier. So there we go, guys. Patreon.com/FPL family. Don't do it tonight. Don't do it at the last day of February.
Do it after midnight.
After midnight. March the 1st is the best and right time to join us over on Patreon if you are interested in doing that. Right, Sam, let's get to your team for the week. So here is your team so far for double game week 26. Overall points so far, 61. Total points...
63 now.
63, okay. Because
of Salah.
Okay, you're absolutely right. So this is a screenshot that was taken at half-time in the Liverpool game. So you're absolutely right. 63 points, giving you a total of 1,678 points. And an overall rank of...
54.
So still at 54. Okay, so that hasn't changed you too much. Talk us through the team. How's it gone?
Yeah, so it's going... So far, so good. Up 24k. So
pretty good.
Pretty happy with that. It just basically takes out the terrible week I had last week. And I feel like the guys that I was hoping would do well have. So Luke Shaw, I was hoping for a clean sheet from him today. Got one of them. Very happy with Diaz. That goal, very pleased with that. I was kind of hoping that Bruno was going to blank, given his effective ownership is so high. So actually,
would have actually hurt your rank.
That's gone quite well. Triple captain Kane. It could have started better, but actually, I feel quite content with it. I think it was a decent start. Watkins, I'm happy with. Bit disappointed with my Leeds boys, but it's finally nice to see that I haven't made any benching mistakes this week. at least.
So you've still got plenty of these guys to play again, right? Except for Bamford and Dallas.
I think all of them play again. Apart from Bamford and Dallas. So I'm relatively pleased with the position I'm in. I think it will be interesting to see what happens with Everton tomorrow, because that's the only game that can really, really hurt me.
Yeah.
Because obviously I don't have any Everton assets. So depending on what they do tomorrow, that could massively hurt. But I suspect that I'm hoping that, you know, I can make that back up. So I think so far so good this game week. Fingers crossed for a bit more of a haul from Harry on Thursday early evening.
Okay. All right. And early thoughts on transfer for next game week. Now, obviously, lots of football to be played between now and then. But if you were to tell me what you're thinking for game week 27.
Well, it's getting to a point where if Martinez is fine with his groin, I'm just going to have to do it. I just hate taking a minus four for a goalkeeper.
Well, especially as you have two goalkeepers that don't play in 29. So if you're going to bring Martinez in, that's another player for 29. So it's, I think that kind of works out right.
Yeah, and I'd do it for Pope because, and then, so if I do it, which I'm probably going to, if I do it, I'll do it for Pope and I'll bench boost next week because I've got McCarthy on a double, so it kind of makes sense. And then right. from my wildcard onwards, I can just go to just having McCarthy and free up some money from, sorry, go to just having Martinez and free up some money from McCarthy and just invest that elsewhere because that means that some of the players that I've taken out probably for 29 that I want back in on wildcard, I can use the money that I'll get from going McCarthy to Steer to do that.
Okay.
But yeah, and there's potentially going to be a Salah transfer. I can feel it coming.
You can feel that coming. All right. Well, there we go. 61 points so far. 63, actually, given that Salah got the extra two there.
Of course, yours will change as well because of Robbo and Salah.
Yeah, so my team is looking not as good as yours, no doubt about it. 46 points, but that was when Robertson and Salah were both on one each. So if Robertson finished with five extra points and Salah got two extra, seven more. So what's that, 53 points. So 53 points. Yeah, overranked 92k. About par from where I was. I think it's down by about 5k. But listen, I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin to play as captain.
Oh, you're actually up.
So, I'm up, okay, good.
Yeah, 54 points, you're up to 78k.
78, wow. So Robbo get the six or some
got
bonus?
Seven.
Oof, get in there, Robbo. So that just shows you Liverpool defence is pretty differential right now because no idiot is still on them other than me. So Robertson with the seven is a very welcome addition. So I'm at 70-something K. So slightly up, actually, but with DCL still to come this game week. So I do need him to do something. Now, of course, that game week score that I reeled off a second ago does include my bench boost with the six wonderful points that I got from my Leeds players. I'm hoping to get something from McCarthy. I'm actually hoping I don't get anything from McCarthy because if I do, that means that Calvert-Lewin hasn't gone off. And I want Calvert-Lewin to go off if he can.
The worst thing that can happen here is that Richarlison goes off.
Richarlison goes off and DCL gets nothing would be savage. Yes,
it
would.
And McCarthy loses his clean sheet.
McCarthy loses it. That would be a disaster. But elsewhere, I'm pretty happy that I've held on and kept a bit of faith with Son with the 11-pointer. Watkins with the transfer in is, I think, probably going to net itself out in the end. I think Antonio probably finished on six or seven. I'd expect Watkins to hopefully surpass that. What with the second game that he's got this game week. And then obviously he plays. Although Antonio does play also in 29. And I'd be thinking about potentially getting him back in for that Leeds game. But Watkins I think I'm pretty okay with. Elsewhere, the midfield hasn't really performed outside of Son. And of course Cancelo didn't play. But again, I'm not too worried about that because I'm expecting Cancelo to come
in the next
game and be okay. Robertson's got another game. Salah's got another game. In fact, all of the guys that are in my starting 11 do have another game. I've got a whole 11 still to play. And of course, my captain's still to come. So despite being, you know, below par, I think, or maybe just about par for the game week, I feel all right about it. I do feel like I dodged a bullet with that Kane triple cap so far. I mean, obviously, he can go off against Fulham. Of course he can. But in a 4-0 win over Burnley, for him to get just the goal and no bonus points, to get six in a 4-0 win, I'm going to take that. And there aren't too many, I don't think, FPL managers out there in the same position as you that have Kane and Son. I think a lot of managers have got one or the other. So the fact Son gets the 11 maybe nets me out a little bit against those that have got Kane. I don't know, maybe. But I am looking to add to Spurs for next week, no doubt about it, because I just think that Crystal Palace game is really good. And of course,
Front the door back?
Possibly back, you know. Ooh, I do like the look of Reguilón. I think he was very direct today. He gave Burnley all sorts of problems. Yes, okay, Burnley were terrible, but so are Crystal Palace. And without Wilf-Zaha, I see you getting a clean sheet there. So if Reguilón can add to that with an assist, potentially, then you're talking about maybe a double-digit haul for Reguilón. So,
for Luke Shaw?
Or for Robertson, one or the other. I have to see how the money plays out. Because like you, I also need to sort my goalkeeper position out. No. With Pope and with McCarthy, neither of those guys playing for 29. And with Martinez killing me every single week, I could take the money out of Robertson to Reguilón and use it to upgrade McCarthy, say, to Martinez, or just do Pope to Martinez. Haven't decided yet. But either way,
if Martinez is fit, of course.
If Martinez is fit, need to keep an eye on that, no doubt about it. But either way, I don't see me making any real wholesale changes in my front line. I think my front sort of six or seven is probably okay. I'm going to keep hold of my Leeds assets because they all play in 29. So I'm not going to sell any of those guys. Watkins the same. Dominic Calvert-Lewin up against Chelsea next, but then it's Burnley, then it's the blank, but then it's Palace and Brighton.
Well, Burnley's
so...
going to be. Burnley, well, Circa, we like to defend. Well, or Burnley, we like to go rogue and attack and high-press Spurs.
If they do, if they're going to carry on playing the way they played against Spurs today, then they're going to ship a lot of goals, no doubt about it. And what I like about Calvert-Lewin is the fixtures coming out of the blank look pretty good with Palace and with Brighton. So I feel like he is one of the more benchable options for 29 if I was going to do that.
Probably also the least value... in tied up in him though, so you can sell and bring back.
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, the ones that, you know, I have to look at that midfield, don't I? I have to look at Gundogan, Fernandes and Salah and say, well, look, none of you three lads are playing in game week 29.
Son,
Fernandes and Gundogan. Son will obviously stay now. But of the other three, that's where the glaring omission is for me. Because even up front, I've got Watkins and Bamford. Okay, I could bench Calvert-Lewin. In midfield, I've got Son and Rafinha.
And you can't bench the other three.
And I'm not going to bench the other three. And then at the back, I mean, obviously on the double Man City defence, that's a problem. But, you know, I could look to fix that. So I do need to start thinking about, well, I'll be looking to fix that this week with maybe Reguilón and Martinez. But I need to start thinking about my midfield. Salah, Fernandes and Gundogan doesn't feel great going into 29.
No.
One of them probably needs to make way. Not because I want to sell them, but probably because I just want the players for 29. And I've got a couple of weeks to make up my mind on that. So there we go. Yeah, the Robbo clean sheet means that I'm up in the 50-somethings. My rank is about 70-something K. I'm okay with that. I'm hoping for Dominic Calvert-Lewin to give me a bit of a boost tomorrow night.
Oh, I'm not going to enjoy that game at all.
So there we go. We're only halfway through, guys. Plenty of football still to go in this game week before we come and talk to you again this time, Sunday, 8:30, next week, when we will be on the cusp of game week 27. Will game week 27...
No, it will have started on Saturday,
will it? Started, because actually 26 finishes on Thursday, right?
We'll be halfway through that, won't we?
So we've got 26 finishing on Thursday. Friday we take a breath. And then Saturday we go again.
Correct.
Unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. Yeah. Any shows or podcasts or anything going on this week?
You are podding this week.
I am podding, you're absolutely right. I am podding, yeah. So I do want Dominic Calvert-Lewin to do well for me tomorrow, because I'd like a nice score going on to the FPL pod. Yeah, so I'll be joining James Richardson and the guys on the official FPL podcast later this week. Any other shows or anything going on? Any scout stuff going on? Fancy little scout?
I have a pundit article, which I'm halfway through writing at the moment. I'll finish it tonight. I think it's out on Tuesday.
Very good.
It had a change of topic after today's action. I wonder if you could guess what I've written about.
You've done a Spurs article.
And I've done something very much more specific than that, because it was a player-focused article that I was choosing to write. So that'll be out this week. I will obviously be doing another Scout the Game Week. That will be recorded on Wednesday evening with David from FPL in the dugout, who's been on one of our FPL Family X videos. So if
he has, yes, he has.
Catch him, give him a follow over on Instagram and Twitter. We'll record that on Wednesday and it'll be out very late Wednesday night, ready for your ears on Thursday. That's about it.
Another busy week in FPL, guys. Well done for anyone that's got anywhere up into the sort of 60s and 70s. Seen some very good scores in the live chat tonight. Get in the comments below. Let us know what your target score is for this game week. Are you looking to get into the upper echelons of the 100 Club by Thursday's end of game week? Hopefully you are. Follow us on all the usual socials, at FPL Family over on Twitter and Instagram. Search for FPL Family on Facebook. You can find us over there as well. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you, podcast listeners. Over 100,000 listens to the podcast now this season. So get in, podcasters. We love you. Thank you for listening. Guys, leave us a like before you go. Hopefully you've enjoyed the stream. If you're new to FPL Family, make sure you hit that subscribe button before you go and the little notify bell so that you know when we're live next. And until this time, next week, guys, when so much football will have been played, we'll see you soon. Cheers.
Hi, guys.